be in church this morning. Amen. Appreciate being where the Lord's at. Amen. And been riding high on the shoulders of the shepherd. Amen.
Oh yeah.
I've gotten over that thought yet, man. I went to bed thinking about that. Got up this morning thinking about that. Amen. Riding high on the shepherd's shoulders. Amen. Amen. This is a rare experience for an evangelist because we don't usually get to preach this close to Christmas. We're usually just in church and listening to somebody else preach about those Christmas themes, but the Lord's directed my heart here this way. You're in John chapter number 1, and we'll read a couple of verses of Scripture and pray and see what the Lord has for us this morning. I want to say this. I'm glad He came. Amen. I'm glad He's coming back. Amen. The Bible said, verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Would you join me with our heads for a word of prayer? Father, we are grateful. And God, Lord, our vocabulary doesn't even have the ability to express, Lord, the things many times our hearts feel. God, sometimes the best we can do is just lift our hands and God, just say thank you. Lord, I want to thank you that you came. I want to thank you that all those many years ago, God, you looked down and you saw our desperation. God, you looked down and saw our hopelessness. God, you looked down and saw a world devoid of peace. And God, those angels said, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Father, I pray that this morning, God, for just a little while now, that you'd help me. And God, that you'd touch me and God, you'd use me. Give me that unction that I need to preach this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that, Lord, you have given me. God, to preach on this thought. God, thank you that, God, you were willing to clothe yourself in our form. And God, to come down here and God, seeking to save that which was lost. God, thank you for being our shepherd. Lord Jesus, thank you for being the Lamb of God. Lord, I pray that, God, you'd help us now. Father, if there's one here this morning in this great Sunday morning crowd that God does not know the true meaning and the true purpose for why you came, God, to them it's just a story. God, to them it's just a couple of days out of a calendar of 365. Father, I pray that, God, it would become much more than a story. That God, to them today, it would become a testimony. And Father, I pray that you'd give us some cover from our adversary. And Father, meet with us now. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I woke up this morning and realized that it's 11 days before Christmas. And I know there's a lot of people that argue about when he was born and whether it was December or I don't care. Amen. I'm just glad he came. Amen. Listen, I've been that crowd. I've been that crowd. When I was pastoring in Missouri, I was a younger man and I was influenced by some people and man, we didn't do Christmas and I preached again all that stuff. And you know what I realized? I realized that Christmas haters are mean people. If you're a Christmas hater, I just said you're a mean person. Amen? If you don't like that, then you can just prove me wrong and come up and tell me how much you love me after church. Amen? I'm just telling you, listen, I've been all that nonsense just trying to, because I thought I'd find God there. And I ran a lot of roads because people told me I'd find God there. And you know what I found? I found it's empty. Amen? I found out there was no joy there. I found out that many times it leads to an elitist attitude. Amen? And I got to thinking this morning, ladies and gentlemen, about the fact that just in 11 days, for just, listen, if for no other reason, it's a blessing just for a short period of time, this time of year, the world even, amen, listens to Hark the Herald Angels sing. I was listening to that song again this morning, one that I don't think we sing near enough, amen. And I got to looking at the words of that song, amen. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Now I thought about the doctrine that is taught, Brother Neil, in some of those songs that the devil's convinced us we can only sing, amen, from about the 1st of December to the 25th of December, amen. I'm telling you, listen, the fact of the matter is, I got to thinking today how even in churches so much, Christmas has become just a time where we give and we get and we celebrate and we miss the true meaning of why he came. I was listening, I was running down the road here a while back and I had the radio on and I don't hardly ever listen to PBS or those kind of things, but it was really the only thing I could get in. And I was listening, Brother Neil, to a broadcast. They were talking about these disorders that people have, you know, these maladies and things. And they were talking about a new disorder, Brother John, that they have labeled SAD. S-A-D. This is what it stands for. It's seasonal affective disorder. And this is what they said. I looked it up. I couldn't believe what my ears said. So I pulled this up and said, this means that it is a cyclical seasonal condition. Means that the symptoms usually come back and go away at the same time every year. Usually seasonal affective disorder symptoms appear late in the fall or early winter and go away during warmer, sunnier days of spring and summer. The onset of, they said, of seasonal affective disorder or winter depression, you know, when you get around Christmas and you start thinking about, amen, things that you don't have anymore and the people that aren't in your life anymore and all that kind of thing, and it becomes all about you. It's no longer about the Lord. It's no longer glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. They said it's depression, it's hopelessness, it's anxiety, it's loss of energy. That's just called getting older, amen? It's social withdrawal, it's oversleeping. It manifests itself in a loss of interest in activities you once enjoyed or appetite changes. This is interesting, especially craving for foods high in carbohydrates. So that's people that struggle with their weight, you just got sad. That's all you got, amen? I'm just telling you, listen, we're living in days, ladies and gentlemen, when there's an acronym and a malady for everything everybody's got. And I'm not trying to be unkind this morning, but I'm going to tell you this. Many people have gotten depressed, amen, due to the money that is spent and the effort that they make to make Christmas enjoyable, amen, with minimal returns. And ladies and gentlemen, can I say this? Jesus didn't come, amen, to get stuff. He came to give himself, amen. I'm thankful. Hey, listen, I got to thinking last night, man, Brother Darnell riding high on the shoulders of the shepherd. Listen, he expended his energy. He gave himself. I don't know why he came to where I was. I don't know why, Brother John, he would bother looking for the likes of me. But I'm thankful when he realized, Brother Kevin, that I was missing from the fold, that I was missing from the family, that I was out there in the wilderness. I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen, he left the standards of heaven and came to where we were. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. have the great joy of Christmas. The great joy of Christmas is inseparably linked to the fact that He came. That theological word, that big $10 word that describes God coming in the flesh is known as the incarnation. And I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, listen, I'm thankful that He came. Amen. I want to preach for just a little while on the importance of the incarnation. And ladies and gentlemen, it's that great fact that God Himself came down from heaven and took upon Himself the form of a servant. Amen. He clothed Himself with flesh and involved Himself in the affairs of humanity. I don't know if you've noticed as you've watched our culture and you've watched the world and what they like and what entertains them. There seems to be a lot of remakes of all the old superheroes that we used to read about in cartoons. You know, I mean, Batman has come and Batman's returned and, amen, Batman's done 50,000 things, amen. We've watched Superman, we've seen Captain America, we've seen the Avenger, amen. We've seen all those, amen, come to life. And ladies and gentlemen, I got thinking about the world's infatuation with superheroes, Spider-Man and all those kind of things. And listen, they've got to, there's something about somebody who will involve themselves in the affairs of those who are in trouble, amen, that the world likes. And listen, I'm telling you, there's a superhero, amen, that transcends all those. I'm telling you, the God of heaven, amen, stepped out of glory, came down here to where we were, and involved Himself in the affairs of this life. Listen, the fact of the matter is that the world's offended by that thought. I got to thinking about that. Why in the world would, hey, when Gotham needed Batman, amen? How when somebody needed Superman? How when, well, the world was being terrorized by evil, Spider-Man showed up. But I'm telling you, when the devil's running us ragged and we tell him that Jesus Christ came, why is it that the world doesn't seem to like that? And the only thing, Brother Cliff, that made plausible sense to me was that when you're in trouble and a superhero comes, so to speak, he'll deliver you out of the problems that you're in, but he doesn't require any change in your life. Amen. And that's where a lot of people get off the train, Brother Joe. How? Because when the Lord comes, amen, he doesn't just take you out of the mess you're in, amen. He begins to change the mess you are. I'm thankful. Amen. I'm glad He didn't just pull me out of the mess I was in and leave me the mess I was. But I'm glad He began to work in Brother John in my life. Amen. To change the mess I am. That I might somehow, some way bring glory and honor to Him. Well, I got thinking last night when Brother Edward was talking about, amen, making him... being proud, I thought, man, I want the Lord to somehow feel like that maybe Him coming for me paid some dividends. Amen. I got to thinking about those crowns that one day we're going to get to cast at His feet. Crowns not worthy. Our head not worthy to bear those crowns, amen. I'm telling you, things that the only reason we got any crowns is because of Him, amen. I was listening to a guy preach, and he was talking, Brother Kevin, about all those crowns being cast at His feet. And he said, I got to thinking about the big pile of crowns that must build up. And, man, what would happen? All those crowns, I mean, mountains upon mountains of crowns. And he said, then a thought about when I was a kid, he said, I was a pin setter in a bowling alley. He said, you knock all them pins down, and that thing would rake them into that gutter, and then they'd process them all, and the ball would come back up to where you were, and the pins would all get back set up. He said, I'm wondering if there's a crown return up in heaven. Amen. Amen. All them crowns built up, and then they get raked off into something, and, amen, set back out so we can cast them at His feet again. I don't know how that's going to work, amen, but I'm thankful, amen, that I'm going to have hopefully some crowns to cast at His feet, how to give Him some glory and some honor, amen. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you say, why is the incarnation, why is that thought about God coming in the flesh? Amen, to redeem mankind. Why is that so important? I'll tell you why. Because it provides you and I with a spiritual compass to determine those who depart from sound doctrine. Amen. It is a doctrine upon which all other Bible doctrines stand or fall. The incarnation is vital to the Christian faith. And while people may debate the date of His birth,
And when the wise man came, and we know they didn't come when he's in the manger. Amen. We see all these, and I'm not trying to be unkind, but amen, they didn't come when he's laying in the manger. Amen. But listen, the fact of the matter is, I'm glad Jesus Christ came. Amen. Let me say, first of all, that he came, number one, to reveal God to man. Look at John chapter number 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, prior to the incarnation, God revealed himself to us in his world. Go to Psalm chapter number 19 real quick. Psalm chapter number 19, turn there right fast. Psalm chapter number 19. Everybody's going to get there before the preacher's going to get there. Psalm 19, look at verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. What voice? The voice of the stars. Amen. The voice of the heavens declaring the glory of God. Listen, I'm thankful for those times when I'm out, amen, on a piece of property and there are no city lights and there's no ambient light. And along about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, amen, on a clear night, you can walk outside the house and look up to the stars, amen, in the heaven. Listen, those things testify that there's a God. Amen. Those things testify there is a Creator who hung them up there in perfect order. Amen. And knows every star by its name. Oh, listen, let me continue reading. Amen. The Bible said, and their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Now listen, he revealed himself in his world. And I know, amen, this world's tried to convince themselves that we just evolved. Amen. Just out of nothing, that there was a big explosion. And all this just appeared. Amen. There was just some big cosmic gas explosion, and out of this came the world, and then things began to evolve. Amen. Listen, I don't buy that for a second. Listen, if there was evolution, there'd still be evidence of evolution. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, hey, we're not getting better, we're getting worse. Amen. We're not becoming more civil, we're becoming less civil. We're not becoming more peaceful, we're becoming, amen, more filled with war and anger, amen, and chaos. I'm just telling you, he revealed himself to us in his world. And then he revealed himself to us in his works, as they're recorded in Scripture. And then he revealed himself to us in his Word. Look at Psalm chapter 19 again. Let me get right back here. Psalm chapter number 19, let's pick up in verse number 7. Where the Bible says this. The Bible says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired of they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, and then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Listen, he revealed himself to us in his word, but I'm telling you, with the birth of Christ, amen, with the incarnation, he was revealed to us in Emmanuel. What the writer said, God with us. The birth of Christ reminded us that there's a standard, amen. There is someone to look toward. There is someone to model. Amen. That standard came in a person. I got to thinking about that statement. God with us. How you look at that first word, God. I'm telling you, what majesty. I mean that the God of all heaven. Amen. The Creator God. The one that sits upon the throne. Amen. That He would involve Himself with us. That word with. What a mystery. Amen. That he would involve himself in our affairs and us. Man, what mercy. Amen. How that God would come and step out of the portals of glory and step into our lives. But not only did he come to reveal God to man, but let me say number two, he came to redeem man from sin. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21, where the Bible reads that he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Well, I like this part. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Ladies and gentlemen, ever since Adam's fall in the garden, man has been estranged from his God. Amen. Man has been separated. That's why in Luke 19:10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Oh, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the incarnation and the atonement are events that are foundational to our redemption. Amen. Now, listen, if He didn't come and if He didn't die, we'd have no way to be reconciled with Him. We'd be of all men most miserable. There'd be no hope for us. Oh, listen, I'm glad He came. Amen. And the reason Satan had labored so diligently to undermine this season and to put everything else in precedent, amen, and to get all other characters and get the world's mind, is because he knows, amen, that those who deviate from this are going to get straight into false doctrine. Thank God we're brought nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm thankful that He came. How the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." See, we were redeemed from the penalty of sin. And that penalty of sin was going to require not only a physical death, but a spiritual death. Amen. I'm in an eternal death in an awful place called hell. But I'm glad, amen, He removed the penalty of sin when He came, when I got saved. And then we're redeemed from the power of sin. That first of all, it doesn't have power over us. Amen. Hey, listen, the fact of the matter is, hey, before I was saved, man, I didn't have hardly any willpower, any power to resist, any power to say no. That's why people get themselves in the mess they're in. But after I got saved, Brother John, I'm not talking about being sinless. I'm not talking about living a life without sin. I was telling Brother Edward, I'd just been saved a couple of months, maybe 6 months at the most. And there was a preacher came to the Christian school that my parents put me in after I got saved, Brother Kevin. And he got to preaching. You know who he is. I know your dad knows him. Amen. And a fellow named Keniston, he came preach at the chapel and talked about how he'd been about 3 weeks without sinning. I wasn't saved very long, and I knew there was something wrong with that. Amen. I knew on my very best day. Amen. It was my very best behavior. Amen. I mean, listen, right after I got saved, Brother Neil, there was a bunch of things in my life that I knew. Amen. Once I got saved, I mean, I didn't have to have a preacher tell me. I didn't have to have a Sunday school teacher tell me. The Holy Ghost just said, "Hey, that can't be part of your life no more." Amen. Those things have got to go. That doesn't glorify me. That doesn't honor me. Amen. But I'm telling you, on my very best day, we still struggle. But I'm glad one of these days, amen, not only will we be redeemed from the penalty of sin and the power of sin, but one day we're going to be redeemed from the presence of sin. Oh, that's going to be one of the wonderful things about heaven. Amen. You understand, I was talking to somebody here recently, and this is the first Christmas that they're going to have without their daddy being around. I remember that day in 1994 when I said goodbye to my dad on this side. Amen. And I remember that first Christmas and how, I mean, my mind went there. And I just kept thinking, man, I wish Dad was here. I wish Dad was here. But I got to thinking, ladies and gentlemen, hey, my dad's in a place where there is no sin. Listen, my dad died from some horrible disease. Amen. That just destroyed his life and destroyed his body. But I'm telling you, up there in heaven, amen, there are no doctor's offices. Amen. Up there in heaven, there are no hospitals. Up there in heaven, there aren't any emergency rooms. There are not any ambulances. Amen. There are not any sickness or any disease. Listen, we're going to be redeemed from the presence of sin. And by the way, that's one of the blessings of coming to church. This ought to be just a little piece of heaven's real estate down here on this plane. Amen. Now I'm telling you, when we come to church, how there ought to be something about being able to gather. Amen. I know we're all sinners. I understand that. Amen. But I'm telling you, there ought to be something about coming to church. Amen. Where there's peace and where there's tranquility. And for a little while, you're out from that world. Amen. I know we're just in a building. I know all we got to do is open the door and we're back out in it. But I'm telling you, I'm thankful for the family of God. Amen. I'm thankful that He redeemed me. I'm thankful that He set me in the church. Amen. I'm thankful that He gave me brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. I'm glad I'm part of His family tonight. Amen. And let me say finally, as you're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again, He came to reconcile man with God. You see, man was hopeless. Jesus Christ came to give man hope. I realize, ladies and gentlemen, there are many things that are taking place in our day to cause us to have fear and dread in our heart. I was watching on the news, maybe it was last night, just real quick, about all these people still demonstrating different parts of the country. Amen. And how? Listen, I understand, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes things happen. I'm not making a decision or justifying who is right or who is wrong. But I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching our country slowly unravel into anarchy. We're watching our country slowly unravel into mob rule. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, you talk to people that have served in the military and been to other places in the world. Brother Neil, that's not uncommon to see things like that happen in other parts of the world. But I remember one of those nights here a few weeks back when the grand jury decision came out there in Ferguson, and they had a couple of news reporters that were reporting live from right there. And I remember one of those guys, and I've watched the network that he reports for, and he'd been to really some hot spots around the world as far as war is concerned and unrest is concerned. Afghanistan, amen. He's been to Iraq. He's been to a few other places. He's reported in the middle of battle when missiles are coming in and rockets are coming in and shots are being fired. And he made the statement. He said, "I've never felt so concerned about my personal safety as I do right here tonight." I thought, man, that's not in some third world country. That's right here in the United States of America. That was right there in the state that I was born in. Amen. The state that I pastored in. I got to thinking, listen, the Bible tells us that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Amen. Men are going to be lovers of their own selves, proud, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Amen. False accused. Hey, listen, the world's going to be filled with anarchy. Amen. And I'm telling you, listen, these things have got to take place in order for that Bible to play out the way the Bible says it's going to. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad even in these days, when peace is unraveling, I'm glad even in these days when unrest is taking control, I'm glad He came to redeem man from sin and to reconcile man with God. Well, listen, the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus Christ will God bring with Him." Oh, listen, I'm glad He's coming to get me someday. I'm glad for May the 8th, 1977, Brother Aubrey. I was a 15-year-old young man. I heard the gospel preached. Amen. I felt the Holy Ghost deal with my heart. And He revealed for me, for the first time that I can remember, that I was a sinner and hell would be my eternal destiny.
Yes. Yes.
I'm thankful that He dealt with my heart and I responded. I'm glad I got saved. I'm glad I left that seat where I was. Amen. And responded to the invitation. Ladies and gentlemen, that all happened because 2,000 years ago, a little girl, all by herself with her husband, in a manger, in a stable. Amen. I think of that song, "The Wonder of Wonders." Remember the first time I heard it, and those words, "He created the womb that had given Him birth."
He was God incarnate, come down to the earth. I got to thinking, Brother Edward, he's born in this world. Mary took him and wrapped him up in swaddling clothes. Mary wrapped up God. Held God in her arms. And you stop and think. You stop and think with me for just a minute how helpless a baby is. Amen. And what he had to give up. And we think of him condescending, Brother Aubrey, and coming down here, taking upon himself our form. And we think about that as, amen, as a 12 or 13 or, amen, a 20-year-old man. Amen. We think of him when he was teaching those disciples. And we think, man, how in the world can he fellowship with the likes of us? But I'm thinking a little bit further back than that. He came as a helpless little baby. I'm telling you, one that had to be held by his mama. One that had to be swaddled by his mama. One that had to be cared for by his mama. Oh, I'm telling you, listen, but hey, there was no other way that God could conceive that he could redeem us. And so he was willing to give up all that and come in our form. That he might live to that age of 33. I'm told the number of man six. That's 3 plus 3. Yeah. He got that perfect age. And then he gave his life up. They hung him on a cross. Raised him up, suspended between heaven and earth. He'd taken upon himself, Brother Donnie, all of our sin. He drank that cup. That cup that in the garden, Brother John, he prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But on the cross, as he's hanging there, suspended between heaven and earth, he said, I thirst. And I'm kind of thinking that maybe that cup that he looked at in the garden, Brother Edward, and said, man, if it's possible, let it pass from me. I can't imagine drinking that iniquity and drinking all those. I think that's what was in that cup. I think it was all our sins. Amen. I think it was all of our unrighteousness. I think it was all of our iniquity. Amen. And he looked at that and said, I can't even imagine taking that, ingesting that in myself. But I'm telling you, when he's hanging on the cross, he cried, I first. And, hey, those that stood around thought he wanted something. Amen. But that's not what he's crying out first for. I think what he's saying is, Father, that which I didn't want in the garden, I'll take it now. There's no other way to redeem them. But I'll take that cup. I'll take their sin. God, send it my way. Give it to me. There's no way they could ever be redeemed. There's no way they could ever go to heaven if I don't take that cup. And then he said, it is finished. He bowed his head. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad he came. I'm glad he came for me. I'm glad Brother Aubrey, when he looked down through the corridor time, he saw us. I'm glad he didn't see us like we see us. We looked at us, Brother John, and said, I'll pass. I ain't worth my time. A lot of times how we pass somebody on the street that needs some help. A lot of times how we pass somebody holding a sign, amen, on a street corner. We say, that's beneath me. He looked at us. He said, I'll go. And I'm glad, friend. One of these days, he's coming again. Amen. I'm hoping. Sister Ashley, I'm hoping I get to live to see the rapture. I really am. It's not dying that I'm scared of. It's just the pain involved in that whole process. Amen. Be really good, Brother Aubrey, if we could live the words of that song, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air. Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Amen.
be good just to leave this here, won't it? This thing that's plagued us. This thing that's pulled at us. This thing that has, amen, drug us back. Amen, kept us from, amen, giving our best to the Lord. Going to be glad when we get to lay this thing down one day and be in His presence. I'm done, but I want to say this morning, or this afternoon, if you're here, you've never truly been born again. Listen, friend, you don't really understand the meaning of Christmas. Until you've met the one personally who came for you.